music, great song. Thank you. Don't you love this group? They're good. Yeah. Okay, Hebrews 8. This is funny to me. It's sort of like a big shock. He said, hey, guess what? We're talking about Hebrews 8. And no kidding? Yeah, you knew it was coming. And here it is. So my message this morning is going to be in three parts. One is a little bit of background before we get to this chapter. Then the text. I'm going to talk about it, read it through it, and then I'm going to make the important idea, concept that I want you to come home with today, and that's simply the word new, because it's in the text. We'll talk about it, three parts. So background. I'm going to talk in a minute about the last two chapters to prepare us for this. But before that, I want to talk about something else that happened to me this week. First time in my life. And I'm here now with Pastor Jake and Chris. And as you may know, twice a year or so, they sit down and plan the sermon series for the next half year. Why am I telling you about this? Because that kind of planning, that's the background for this message today. So I have an appreciation for this because I've just been to so many churches across the country. I've been hired by churches in five time zones as a consultant. I've just been around a long time as a consultant. So my point to you is I've never myself seen this before, not just the planning, but the level of dedication. So I'm for you, as your intentional lead pastor, the next several months, one of my functions will be sort of outside analyst. We have some issues here. We have some things we're going well. So these cottage meetings starting in about a month, I need you all to be there so we can listen to each other and I can hear you. And the first part of May, I will have a report back to you as a congregation. This will be, in some ways, the first time everybody in the church will be looking at the same information. We're about to go through a process that's very important for us as a congregation, all looking at the same info. But back to Thursday, with this kind of background, knowing a little bit of who I am and how many churches I've been to, I've never seen this before. Here's the thing, it's the level of dedication. So Jake is sitting here, I'm going to intentionally embarrass him by saying good things about him and Chris. But so we're scheduled to go from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., long time. We didn't do that. We went till 6 p.m. What was happening at the end of the time? Nobody was bored. Nobody was yawning. Nobody wanted to go home. There was energy at the end of that time for thinking through the task we had, which was what? Here's how this church, one way that we're different than other churches, most other Lutheran churches in the world go by a pericope series, meaning we preach on those topics that have been assigned for us as a church for hundreds of years. Well, that's good because it covers, but here's what we do here. We think regularly and faithfully about what are the needs of this particular family. And we discipline ourselves to keep asking that question. What do we need here? Not generally, not in America, here at this church, what do we need? And in answer to that, we come up with ideas for sermons, like coming will be this, not that. Kind of funny. What is that? Joy, other things. And the one we're doing now, Hebrews, which is what? It comes from, finally, you're getting to the point, David. This sermon series comes from the heart of pastors who want for us an understanding of God's word as it touches our lives. Wow, how cool is that? You wouldn't be as impressed unless you'd actually seen it like I have. So it's just a really cool, good thing to have that level of dedication. We're working on it all day. You're still not tired. And the result of that is the sermon series, Hebrews chapter 8, which follows chapter 7 and 6. So what did we talk about the last two Sundays? Well, we're talking about the nature of a high priest. Remember, Chris, last week? What does a high priest do anyway? Who in the world is Melchizedek? And what would you even do if you had a high priest? You know, what would you tell him? Do you even know what your sins are? So in this sermon series, I'm setting the stage. I'm not getting to our today's text, but I want you to have a good understanding of the context of the importance of this thing about sacrifices and priests and high priests. And here's the deal, the point I want to make. To my way of thinking, we're talking about an extreme. And it's an extreme level of distance from our culture. Who in the world even thinks about a sacrifice? Who even thinks about sin? Right? A famous psychologist wrote a book, Whatever Happened to Sin? You know, we don't even think of that way. We don't have altars where we sacrifice animals. That's crazy. We don't do that. So the remoteness of the concept of sacrifice and priesthood is on one hand. And way over here, I'm saying, as extreme as that is, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, here's the point I want to make. There's an extreme level of relevance, of importance for us. To me, that's interesting, the distance between those, because it is true that it means something for us. And I'll mention that later. When I saw that movie, Risen, yesterday, it made a couple of points with me in terms of the question of what are we looking for? Why do we do what we do? I'll get back to that. But the issues may look like they're culturally remote, but the actual issues in Hebrews 8 are as alive as knowing who you are and what's important to you and what actually you want out of life. It's extremely relevant for us to know that the gospel of Jesus Christ changes everything and makes everything new. And part of that now is us understanding this one chapter. So if you will, open your Bibles to, mine is different. I understand yours is page 1005, Hebrews 8, and I'm going to read a little bit to you from that chapter. Again, this is the writer of Hebrews talking to a Jewish audience. Verse 1, the point of what we are saying is this: we do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord. Not, so this is different than all the other priests, he says. Verse 3, every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. Show of hands, do you know what it was that this priest had to offer? Yeah, you know? Okay, yeah, that's right. His own body. He was the sacrifice, the lamb. That you slaughter the lamb on the altar. He was the Lamb of God. What he sacrificed was himself. And in this movie, and it wasn't just that he died. It was a long, painful death. Oh, man, scary even for us to think about. What a sacrifice for all time. That was the nature. The Son of God would suffer and die and rise again. Verse 7, for if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, remember that? Hey, you sin, you pay a price. You sin, you pay a price. You sin, you pay a price. That was the old deal. Make a sacrifice. Pay a price. But if that was okay, there wouldn't have been a new one. Says in verse 7, no place would have been sought for another. Now what follows that is a quote from the Old Testament. And I want to read this because to me this means something different than what I thought. Have you ever said, well, I'm going to read the Bible, and then you read the Bible, and then you say, well, I read the Bible, and you didn't really understand what it said. That's what I frequently do. But in this case, I read this again from the heart of God. So if you just indulge me as I read this, I want to make a couple of points here. And that is that here is God. Oh my goodness, God is opening his heart. He's showing to us his true self. I want you to imagine that you're listening to God speak confidentially to you. This is the yearning of God. And what does he want? The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Do you hear the yearning there? The heartfelt yearning? What is that like? Well, I'll tell you what I think it's like. I'm a grandparent now. That's a different kind of relationship altogether. You know, you love your kids. Any grandparents here? Raise your hands. Yeah, a few. It's a different deal. And I'm telling you, regardless of whether you know what that feels like, you have a yearning. You want to be close to these children, just like God wants to be close. There's a yearning here. And you don't have to be a parent or an old person to know what it's like to have a desire for a relationship and that goes away. If you're in grade school or high school or any age at all, you've probably had that experience of wanting some relationship that isn't available. Sooner or later, it's a universal human experience. We all know what that feels like, and God is expressing that yearning, that desire. It's like the prodigal son's father. Remember that story? who instead of scolding him, said, "Where have you been? What'd you do with all my money?" No, he sees him. He runs to meet him. "Hey, kill the fatted calf. We're having a party, for my son is lost and now he's found." The joy of that father when he sees his son returning. This is God's heart. I'm continuing to read verse 11. "No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me." Hear the desire? Man, that's going to be great. They're all going to know me. "From the least of them to the greatest." Wraps up. Get this. "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." That's what I... Yeah, that's what it's going to be like. I'm going to make a new deal with them. I'm going to forgive them. They're going to be close to me. This is God sitting on his throne in heaven, leaning forward, yearning for every single person to love him back the same way he loves them. That's what I get when I read this. This is the heart of God. And the very next words, last verse in this, is what? "By calling this covenant new," as my sermon title, "he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear." New. Well, I've got maybe 8 or 10 minutes to drill down on new. See if you can understand that the way I do. I have a children's sermon in the late service, so I'm ready for that, thanks to my wife, Kathy. Is Kathy here? She's not here at the moment. She's earlier, later. Here's how Kathy helped me. She found for me a map that her mom had. It's so old and fragile, I'm not going to open it, but you see how yellow this is? This is called Metzger's County Map, and it's a map of Snohomish County. And you fold it out, it's this whole yellow map. We live in Linwood, Kathy and I do, and this is so old that Linwood is not on this map. Linwood came later, like in the 50s or so. That's how old this is. So this is like the old covenant. It's an old map. But you know, way back then, if you needed to get from Seattle to Everett, you needed this map. Worked pretty good back then, not anymore. What do I have now? A cell phone. It's better, it's smaller, you don't have to fold it out. It shows you where you are. So we all need maps, don't we, to figure out where to go, how to get there, road maps. The new covenant is our new roadmap. Shows us how to get where we're going. And this is where that movie Risen comes in. It's odd because it's not really a movie about Jesus and the resurrection, this is my interpretation, it's about this Roman soldier who's trying to just figure it out. Kind of just like you and me. It's a story about a journey of faith. As in, wait a minute. Didn't I just see you on, I saw you die on the cross, and now you're here? Woo! What? This is spooky. What does this mean? How can you be alive after you're dead? We all have to struggle with issues that are important in our life. And if you want to sort of hide and run away, there's plenty of places in life where you can do that. But here at this church, we learn how to talk the truth and speak about important things, like from the movie, finally there's one point where Jesus asked the Roman, say, what are you looking for? And he has to admit, well, it's because he said it earlier, he was a Roman soldier and he liked to get promoted and have a good career and finally have a house in the country where he wouldn't have to kill people all the time. Just a little peace. That's what he'd, you know, you work all your life to have something. Well, what is that something? When you retire, what are you going to do? What's your life's goal? What's your dream? Jesus asked that soldier, what are you looking for? It's really a profound question, isn't it? You have to stop and think. I don't expect you have an answer for me right today, but I'm telling you, you should ask yourself that question. What are you looking for? I don't know, but you will. Maybe it's peace. Maybe it's joy. I'm finding joy in this community because the things you need, I feel like I can help with, and that makes me feel good. And I'm working with good people. I'm finding joy. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's fellowship. What are you looking for? God provides those things for you today through Jesus Christ. Not the superficial things, like maybe more money, not the temporary things, things that have eternal value. That's what new means. And I'll bet you most of you knew something about this before, but I want to bring you today in these few minutes a new understanding of just how important it is. It's life-changing. If you see the movie, you can understand the struggle between ordinary life and, wait a minute, what is this? That's what Jesus does to us today. He causes us to stop and think. What does new mean for you? It means, of course, forgiveness, a relationship with God, a new life today. And it helps us evaluate what are the important things versus the not important things. We just heard from Aaron dealing with a father's death. Well, there's something actually more important than that grief. We think of the things in our life. That's why the sermon series that we're planning, this, not that, it's about values and discernment. And that's something you need in your life. When Solomon was told by God he could ask for anything, he asked for what? Wisdom, discernment. Help me stop doing stupid things. That's a pretty good question. Just that alone would be good. So that's what you get in a Christian fellowship. Discernment, answers, relationships. The things that you're looking for are provided by this new covenant, this thing we're talking about in Hebrews 8, the high priest Jesus who sacrifices his own self so that the price is paid and we can have an open relationship with God, the creator of heaven and earth. That's the gospel. There's no other message in the history of humanity like it, because all religions have to do with some level of man seeking God. This is a story of God seeking man. This is not an answer that's supplied by science. Science is our friend. You know, the church promotes science. It's not an enemy. But science can't answer these questions. The thing that science can say is, yes, you can't prove that. We say, yes, we understand that. It's a faith issue. If you could prove it, you wouldn't have faith. Now, if we saw Jesus alive after the resurrection, it might be easier to believe. But Jesus said to the apostle, doubting Thomas, blessed are those who don't see yet believe. We are in that group. We live by faith. We are willing to believe, and it's that belief that God blesses. God even gives through his Holy Spirit the ability to believe that. What a powerful thing we have in this one word, new. So all of Hebrews is talking about priests and sacrifices and things we're not familiar with. But the real issue, the real heart of this chapter, the heart of this book, the heart of our fellowship here at St. Luke's, you might say, is a single word, new. Because we are made new. Because of our faith in Christ, we are not like old. We are like new. Fresh causes us to, oh, I have to rethink stuff now, don't I? It's new. I can't do that. I have to do this. So that's my prayer for us today. I hope the Spirit has worked through me in such a way to give you that understanding of new in your life, what it means to be a part of this particular fellowship where we value and treasure God's word, where we with passion want to share the value of that word with you. So my prayer for us today in this brief only 1 hour of worship time is that you would understand through God's word in Hebrews chapter 8 the value of the new covenant, what it means. If you like, you can see that movie and it'll add to that, I think. But in any case, we are blessed to have in our lives a new understanding of the power of God's love in our lives. May God grant that in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may that peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.